18th, totaling $100 at customer service to receive a $10 coupon good those days at one of the participating stores or restaurants. Limit 2 coupons per family. The annual Come In From the Cold January Sidewalk Sale at University Mall. Make a day of it today, tomorrow, and Sunday. Have fun and save up to 70% on select merchandise. Join University Mall for children's activities and live music. New this year, help those who are literally out in the cold. Donate non-perishable food or cash to the Food Bank of Central and Eastern North Carolina. University Mall, 201 South Estes Drive in Chapel Hill. Visit online at universitymallnc.com.
WCHL's weather forecast brought to you this morning by Cruisers. It is going to be a little foggy this morning. After the fog clears away, sunshine. Our high today about 48 degrees. And tonight, clear, cold, low 30. Tomorrow, sunny with a high in the upper 40s. Cruisers Convenience Marketplace. Fuel up every morning with Cruisers Beans Cafe Coffee, Cappuccino, and Hot Chocolate. Make it your way every day. Guaranteed to taste great at Cruisers. Good to go. It's 7 o'clock.
This is 97.9 FM and 1360 AM WCHL. Chapel Hill Carborough's news, talk, and Tar Heel station.
CBS News, I'm Frank Settapani. A top European police official says radicalized Muslims are so spread out and so capable of carrying out terrorist attacks that stopping every plot will be extremely difficult. But authorities across the continent are doing all they can. CBS's Elaine Cobb tells us sweeps in the past few hours netted more than 24 suspects in Germany, in Belgium, and in France.
The raids carried out overnight in the Paris region were linked to those attacks here last week. Police believe the men they detained may have provided logistical support for the attacks, including sourcing weapons and a car. In Germany, two men were taken into custody following raids on 11 locations. And in Belgium, two suspected Islamic terrorists were killed, another arrested in 10 raids across the country.
Magistrate Eric Vandersipe says the suspects killed in a firefight in Verviers, Belgium, were within hours of launching attacks.
People had the intention to kill several policemen in the street.
Here at home, Duke University has canceled plans to use the campus bell tower for a call to prayer for the school's Muslim students. Officials won't say if they received threats, but they did get an avalanche of complaints. One student says she doesn't understand the fuss.
There's freedom of religion everywhere, so they should be able to do it here.
Oklahoma put convicted killer Charles Warner to death last night. It was the state's first execution since the one last April that went awry, and the inmate struggled and moaned. WKWTV's Justin Doherty tells us how this one went.
Witnesses say Warner made final statements such as, "They pricked me 5 times. It burns. It feels like acid. No one should go through this." Moments later, witnesses say Warner seemed to fall asleep, and at 7:28 p.m., he was pronounced dead.
Florida also carried out an execution last night. The parents of two Maryland youngsters say they're in trouble for allowing the children to walk home from a park by themselves. Live to CBS News correspondent Peter King.
And Frank, the kids are 6 and 10 years old, and their mom says they've taught them how to take care of themselves.
And they're very proud of their independence. They understand that they need to hold hands when they cross the street. They need to look both ways. They need to make sure the light is with them.
But Danielle Mateev says someone called police when they saw the kids. Now she says child welfare officials are threatening to take them away. Maryland law defines neglect as a failure to provide proper care and supervision. Mateev says it's not neglect, but an essential part of growing up and maturing.
A lot of people who got flu shots this year are getting sick anyway. Turns out the vaccine's only 23% effective.
What happened was last February they had a guess what's going to be the strain out there. And they guessed right then, but then after that, the virus began mutating away from the vaccine that's out there.
CBS's Dr. John LaPook. The 49-cent forever stamp won't be 49 cents forever, but it will be for a while. The Postal Service is asking for small increases on postcards and extra postage, but they're holding the line on the first-class stamp. S&P futures are down 4 points. This is CBS News.
I'm Murphy, a service tech at a Quick Lane Tire and Auto Center.
I need help.
They always do.
I'm overdue for an oil change.
No problem.
Tire rotation?
Got it.
Top off the fluid?
Yep.
Check the battery and filters?
Roger.
The sprocket lockets?
No such thing.
Seeing if you're listening.
I haven't stopped.
No, today's Saturday, and I don't have an appointment.
Now you do.
Cool.
Very cool.
No appointment necessary. Weekend hours and trained techs ready to give your car the works. Quick Lane is ready to serve. Visit quicklane.com.
This is Charles Osgood. What's the most important thing to consider when looking for the right insurance? Customer satisfaction. Auto Owners Insurance uses only local, independent agents to handle all your questions and needs. We serve policyholders, not shareholders. Our award-winning service is why Auto Owners is known as the no problem people. Auto Owners, a policy of satisfaction. For the independent agent in your neighborhood, go to AutoOwners.com. That's AutoOwners.com.
The new police chief in Pittsburgh is under investigation at his own request. CBS's Bill Whitney tells us he wants to know if a social media foray violated any rules.
Cameron McClay was hired in September. On New Year's Eve, in the wake of protests over the killings of blacks by white officers, McClay, who's white, posed with a sign reading, "I resolve to challenge racism at work." He retweeted the photo with the hashtag #EndWhiteSilence. The police union says the sign paints Pittsburgh officers as racist and accuses the chief of violating department policy on police and social media. McClay has suspended his Twitter account pending the outcome of the investigation. Bill Whitney, CBS News.
Arizona high school students will have to bone up on civics if they hope to get a diploma. Arizona has become the first state in the union to enact a law requiring students to pass a 100-question citizenship test before they can graduate. It's the same test new citizens have to pass. Frank Settapani, CBS News.
This is Charles Osgood. If back, muscle, or joint pain is something you're starting the new year with, make a resolution to stop it with Salonpas Jet Spray. This fast-acting, no-mess spray contains two powerful pain-relieving ingredients that soothe muscle and joint pain. Salonpas Jet Spray is easy to apply, easy to carry with you, and it has the strength to last for up to 8 hours between applications. Look for the blue bottle with the blue cap. Salonpas, for targeted relief.
As a retired teacher, I look for ways to save money for the things I love, like traveling the world. Medicare plans change each year. Fortunately, my HealthMart pharmacist helped me understand my insurance, saving me money on prescriptions. And they can help you, too. My pharmacist cares about my health and the things I love, whatever that might be.
HealthMart, caring for you and about you. Visit HealthMart.com for the locally owned pharmacy near you.
This hour of the Morning News with Ron Stutz is brought to you by Bredman's Restaurant. Open at 7 a.m. daily and serving breakfast all day. Bredman's on Rosemary Street, a Chapel Hill tradition since 1974.
This morning on WCHL, our community will join many others across the state and around the country this weekend in celebrating the life of Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. The North Carolina Department of Health and Human Services is reporting 26 influenza-related deaths for the week of January 4th through January 10th. And Wednesday afternoon in Pittsburgh, U.S. Marshals arrested a man wanted here in Chapel Hill on multiple charges of dealing cocaine. These stories and much more, plus your Chapel Hill cover of traffic and weather together. And WCHL Championship Sports, the number 12-ranked North Carolina women's basketball team lost to Notre Dame last night, 89-79. That loss coming in Carmichael Arena. We'll talk to Walter Storholt, play-by-play for Ontario women coming up later on in the morning. And
guess what? Butch Davis has finally been paid off by UNC.
That coming up this morning on our Chansky Sports Notebook.
This is 97.9 FM and 1360 AM WCHL, Chapel Hill Carborough's news, talk, and Tar Heel station. WCHL's Morning News with Ron Stutz begins now.
It is really foggy out there this morning, 707, 32 degrees in Chapel Hill right now. 31 this morning in Carborough. A little bit of frost to deal with this morning, but some very thick fog in some spots. It's patchy. Otherwise, after the fog clears away, we'll have lots of sunshine. High today in the upper 40s. And actually, not a bad weekend. On Saturday night, we'll have, after midnight, a chance of rain developing and chance of rain on Sunday. Between now and then, actually pretty good. Our community will join many others across the state and across the nation this weekend in celebrating the life and legacy of Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. WCHL's Blake Hodge has more on the events being held in the northern part of Orange County.
There are events going on throughout the community in the next few days in honor of Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., celebrating the life he led and pushing the message that he believed in. Dr. Millicent Rainey is the chair of the Northern Orange Commemorative Committee and organized this year's events in Hillsboro and the surrounding area. She says that the committee is comprised of 28 area churches, and this year is the 20th anniversary of their first commemorative events. Dr. Rainey says that they will begin the weekend festivities with their banquet on Saturday.
The annual banquet this year will be held at Lee's Chapel Missionary Baptist Church at 4 o'clock p.m. on Saturday. Our speaker is the recently appointed North Carolina Executive Director of the NAACP, Reverend Michelle Law.
She says that the banquet will include singing from the Martin Luther King Jr. Youth Choir. Dr. Rainey adds that on Monday morning, they will be holding a march in downtown Hillsboro. And she says that they are deviating from their normal plans to celebrate this special anniversary.
This being our 20th anniversary, we're doing things just a little bit different. We're having speakers at each stop.
The march will have three stops. The messages will cover the history of events over the last 20 years in Hillsboro, thoughts on where civil rights stands currently across the nation, and will once again have singing from the youth choir. They will also honor citizens for their service to the community, according to Dr. Rainey. She says that it is important that we pass along the memory of Dr. King to the next generation.
It's very important that our young people understand the kinds of things, the characteristics and qualities that Dr. King emphasized. And I think that is taught not only from the parents, but also the church and the community being role models and assisting in that education.
The march on Monday morning will begin at the old courthouse in downtown Hillsboro at 9 o'clock. Blake Hodge, 97.9 FM, WCHL.
The North Carolina Department of Health and Human Services reported 26 influenza-related deaths for the week of January 4th through January 10th. That's a very short period of time where 26 people died. That brings the total number of flu deaths in North Carolina up to 90 since the Department of Health and Human Services started monitoring flu cases back in early October, the beginning of flu season. State epidemiologist Dr. Megan Davies told WCHL last week that the main strain to this point has been H3N2, which tends to cause more severe illness in the elderly.
About two-thirds of the H3N2 that's circulating, that's been tested at the CDC this season, has not been well matched to the vaccine, unfortunately.
Still, officials are encouraging North Carolinians to get the flu shot because different strains of the virus may become prominent later in the season. In Chapel Hill and Carborough City schools, an African-American student is five times as likely as a white student to get in-school suspension, five times as likely to get out-of-school suspension, and three times as likely to get sent to the office. That's according to an official school district report that looks at discipline data over the past two academic years. At last night's school board meeting, Chapel Hill Carborough board member James Etta Bedford said we have to be careful in interpreting that data.
All that shows you is that the risk for ISS discipline reaction is 5-1. You can't assume that the child deserved it and actually did those actions.
Bedford said teachers and administrators may discriminate in whom they choose to discipline. White students make up about half the district's student population. Black students are 11% of the population. According to the report, Latino students, who make up 14% of the student population, are also disproportionately disciplined. Aggression, defiance, and disruption rank as most common infractions among all students. The report says the largest disparities between white students and black students are in vaguely worded infractions like disrespect.
Disrespect was one of the hardest things for teachers to define. So we've sort of decided that we just really don't even want that on our office discipline referral form.
That is Nancy Cuffer, the school district's behavior support coordinator. She says the district needs to update policies and rewrite the code of conduct to clearly define infractions. Also, the district should help teachers think about the function of students' misbehavior. This can help the teachers see behavior patterns and respond based on those patterns. Board member Annetta Streeter worries that seeing this data could strengthen stereotypes and cause teachers and administrators to racially profile students.
I am concerned about this information, for it to be shared with some authority figure, administrators, whomever. It definitely gives an idea based on comparing demographic groups.
And now here's Cuffer's response.
It can be thought of that way, or it can be thought of that the school is not meeting the needs of those students. If we don't have the data there, we can't have that discussion. Well, why is that happening there? Why would it be any different for any kid of color?
WCHL will continue to follow this story. Wednesday afternoon in Pittsburgh, U.S. Marshals arrested a man wanted in Chapel Hill on multiple charges of dealing cocaine. 29-year-old Justin Hardy has been charged with 6 counts each of felony cocaine possession and possession with intent to sell. The Chapel Hill Police Department issued a warrant for Hardy on December 30th following a narcotics investigation. Hardy was arrested by the U.S. Marshals Joint Fugitive Task Force after they pulled over a vehicle in which he was suspected of being a passenger. You can read the full statement from the task force on WCHL's website, chapelboro.com. North Carolina leaders want to squeeze more jobs from new technologies coming out of the state's universities. Governor Pat McCrory plans to visit the supervisory board of the 16-campus UNC system today. He's expected to talk about an advisory council's recommendations on how to convert research innovations into jobs. McCrory's spokesman wouldn't say whether the governor wants to put money behind the suggestions in the state budget that he proposes next month. A 2013 study by the State Commerce Department found North Carolina has one of the country's fastest-growing populations, but the economy's productive capacity is below average. The report says while their strong research to find scientific breakthroughs, turning them into profitable products and services lacks what's needed for a strong economy. Duke University has canceled its plan to use the tower of its chapel for a weekly amplified call to prayer for Muslims. In a release sent out yesterday, the university said it reconsidered the plan. It says Muslims will instead gather on the quadrangle before heading into a room in Duke Chapel for their weekly prayer service. Duke spokesman Michael Schoenfeld says the previous plan to use the chapel tower did not have the intended effect of helping to unify people on campus. Under the canceled plan, members of the school's Muslim Students Association would have recited the call lasting about 3 minutes from the bell tower. The plan drew the ire of evangelist Franklin Graham, who urged Duke alumni to withhold support because of violence against Christians that he attributed to Muslims. WCHL News Time, 7:16. Time now for traffic and weather together, and this traffic report brought to you by Grumble Jewelers. Ladies and gentlemen, here is Nikki Morse.
Thanks, Ron. I have a question for you really quick.
What would that be?
What's the temperature outside?
The temperature is 32.
Ooh, so we're right around freezing.
Right there.
Yeah, well, we got a bit of fog, and we do have a report of ice, 57 at Guest Road in Orange County. So if you're going to be traveling, use a little extra caution. Some of that water that's been left on the roadways may be in the freezing stages since we are down to 32. So just be aware.
Much more likely to happen on roads like that that are not as heavily traveled.
Absolutely. We also have an accident that may be blocking some lanes, southbound 15501 at 40. And if you're traveling I-40 so far this morning, not looking too bad. No problems from 15501 all the way out to the airport exits. If you see anything while traveling, you can be a WCHL Road Warrior. Give us a call at 967-8363 or tweet us safely at WCHL Chapelboro.
All right. Well, thanks so much.
You're welcome.
And this fog is kind of deceptive this morning. I didn't really think that it was going to be thick, but it was kind of thick on the way to work. So,
yeah.
You know, and I have a very short distance to drive. So.
You do. Why do you even bother driving?
I can just be like a dog and hang my head out the window if I have to.
I know, right?
And that has happened.
I bet.
Sure, that gives you a good visual to work on there.
A little.
Grimble Jewelers, Berkeley. Is the guy you need to see at Grimble Jewelers. They're always there for you. Chapel Hill's premier full-service jeweler, Grimble's in the Village Plaza. That's on Elliott Road, right next door to Whole Foods. Now, WCHL's Chapel Hill cover of weather. We'll get to that fog. And the weather forecast is brought to you this morning by University Mall. It is 32 degrees, as we just said, right there at that critical point. A patchy, dense fog this morning. Otherwise, after the fog clears away, it's going to be a sunny day with a high in the upper 40s. A little bit breezy later on today. Nothing to worry about, certainly. Tonight, clear, cold with a low down around 30. Saturday, sunny with a high in the upper 40s. Saturday night, clear, and then we'll have some clouds rolling in after midnight. Slight chance of rain after midnight Saturday night, and a low about 38. On Sunday, mostly cloudy with a 40% chance of rain, and the high about 55 degrees. University Mall. Don't miss the Come In From The Cold January Sidewalk Sale at University Mall. Save up to 70% on select items throughout the mall starting today and throughout the weekend. As a matter of fact, this afternoon between 3 and 5, I will be out there at University Mall telling you about some of those special savings and talking to some of the merchants there at University Mall in Chapel Hill. And please join us for the broadcast and come on and see what's happening.
Wake up with Ron Stutz. And remember, we're your station for the Tar Heels. This is 97.9 FM and 1360 AM WCHL.
718, and we've been talking a lot about what's happening on Martin Luther King Jr. Day and Martin Luther King Jr. Weekend. We talked a moment ago about some things happening in the northern part of Orange County. This year's Martin Luther King Jr. Day observance by state workers all over North Carolina will have a renewed focus on music and words and their influence on the civil rights movement. Governor Pat McCrory and the son of the late historian John Hope Franklin are scheduled to address the midday Friday service today at a Raleigh church near the old Capitol building. The North Carolina Arts Council and State African American Heritage Commission helped organize today's program, which includes the Bennett College and Shaw University choirs and musicians from the longtime North Carolina-based jazz group, The Monitors. John W. Franklin at the National Museum of African American History and Culture planned the keynote address. A bell-ringing ceremony recalling King's life and work is set for this morning on state government's Bicentennial Plaza. And all the organizers want to remind you that Martin Luther King Jr. Day is a day of community service and not just a day off. In fact, news around town this morning. On Monday morning, downtown Hillsboro will play host to the annual Martin Luther King Jr. Commemorative March. The march will start 9 o'clock Monday, 9 a.m. at the historic Orange County Courthouse. Marchers will head up Churton Street to Union Street for a service at Mount Bright Baptist Church. It's expected to take about 30 to 45 minutes for that walk. Police officers will close Churton Street and Union Street for the march, so if you're driving through downtown Hillsboro that morning, find an alternate way to go. And this coming Monday is Martin Luther King Jr. Day in Durham as well, of course, dedicated as a day of service to the community. You can head to Northgate Mall from 10:30 to 1 on Monday for a special children's event to celebrate Dr. King's life and legacy. There will be stories, songs, dancing, birthday cake, and more. And in keeping with the day of service theme, there will be a craft project for the whole family to help Urban Ministries of Durham. It's free for everybody, sponsored by North Carolina Moms Rising. Check them out online at momsrising.org. Attendees are asked to bring non-perishable food items, toiletries, or new underwear and socks to donate to Urban Ministries of Durham. 7:21 at WCHL, and time now for championship sports. And we have, unfortunately, a Carolina loss to talk about this morning. Carolina women's basketball team lost last night to Notre Dame, 89-79. They got close, just couldn't quite come back all the way. Freshman Brianna Turner had 29 points and a season-high 18 rebounds. She was outstanding for a number 7 Notre Dame. The Irish shot 63% after halftime to beat number 12 North Carolina 89-79 in Carmichael Arena. The 6'3 forward, Turner, matched her season-high in points and also in blocked shots. She had 7 of those rejected shots last night. A huge performance. They rallied from 11 down in the first half and then blew nearly all of a 14-point lead in the second when the Tar Heels came back furiously with a big comeback and came up a little short. It was Notre Dame 89, Carolina 79. Notre Dame now 16-2, 4-1 in the Atlantic Coast Conference. Carolina's record 15-3, 2-2 in ACC play. Sophomore Lindsey Allen added a career-best 24 points last night, helping Notre Dame overcome a quiet game from leading scorer Jewel Lloyd. She came in averaging 21.5 points a game and finished with just 8 last night. Tar Heels rallied to within 78-77 and Stephanie Mavunga's three-pointer with about 4.5 minutes left, but Allen immediately scored in the paint to start a clinching 9-0 run. So just wasn't to be last night, Carmichael Arena, with the Tar Heel women's basketball team. We'll talk to the voice of the Carolina women, Walter Storholt, coming up next hour on WCHL. Find out what happened in that game and talk about how the Tar Heels are going to bounce back into the win column. Well, everybody knows P.J. Hairston around here, former Tar Heel. Charlotte Hornets forward P.J. Hairston has been fined $5,000 by the NBA for violating the league's anti-flopping rules for the second time this season. The NBA announced a fine yesterday. You may have seen this video. It's been circulating pretty widely on YouTube. It's really pretty ridiculous. The incident occurred with about 11 minutes remaining in the fourth quarter of Charlotte's 98-93 loss to the San Antonio Antonio Spurs the other night, Wednesday to be exact. Hairston appeared to collide with Spurs guard Tony Parker at the top of the key. He tried to make it look that way anyway. He fell sideways, sliding across the floor and landing at the feet of San Antonio coach Greg Popovich on the sideline. I'm sure that Pop had some things to say about that, but PJ was fined $5,000 for that. And on the subject of football, the Carolina Panthers have signed a wide receiver, Mike Brown, to a reserve future contract. That deal was announced late yesterday. The 5'10", 200-pound Brown spent the last three seasons with the Jacksonville Jaguars and has played in 18 games with eight starts during his NFL career. The former undrafted player out of Liberty has 39 catches for 534 yards and a couple of touchdowns since he joined the league back in 2012. Brown's best season came in the 2013 season when he played in 11 games and started six times. He's caught 32 passes for 446 yards and two touchdowns in that season. So the Carolina Panthers in need of a wide receiver, and they went out and got one. That's a quick look at WCHL Championship Sports. Good morning, I'm Rod Sutz.
Archansky Sports Notebook, exclusively on 97.9 FM WCHL.
Guess what? Butch Davis has finally been paid off by UNC. This is Archansky with Friday Sports Notebook. Thursday, January 15th, 2015, marked the day the university released its final payment of $590,000 to Paul Butch Davis, who was fired without cause as Carolina's football coach in 2011. The without cause is crucial here because it allowed Davis to receive the payoff outlined in his contract if he were fired, well, without cause. Davis made an average of $2 million for the four seasons he actually coached the Tar Heels, including university salary, six-figured radio and TV contracts, additional money from the Rams Club, the football coach's share of the UNC's Nike contract, and three bowl bonuses. After Davis was fired in August of 2011, his payoff kicked in with $1 million plus up front and four annual payments of $590,000 each through 2015. All that adds up to somewhere between $11 and $12 million that UNC paid Davis. And what did Butch leave behind? A three-year NCAA probation for impermissible benefits taken by a half dozen of his players, and the money taken by his assistant head coach and chief recruiter John Blake for steering players to sign with deceased agent Gary Richard. Under Davis's watch, although it has since been revealed to have preceded him by more than 10 years, the academic scandal broke that has since so tarnished the image and reputation of the UNC name and brand that its place among the so-called public Ivies may never be restored. How culpable really was Davis? We may never know. According to him, he knew nothing about anything, including that Blake had a reputation throughout college football circles as some kind of shady character. A clause in Davis's contract actually says he could be fired for cause if any assistant coach he hired committed NCAA violations, which Blake was eventually charged with. Former Chancellor Holden Thorpe let him go without cause, since most fired employees come back at the university with a lawsuit that could cost the school more money in the long run than paying them off. So every January, Athletic Director Bubba Cunningham has been here. He is set to approve a $590,000 payment to Davis. That all ended yesterday. So all together now, let's say a big hallelujah. This is our chance, dude. See ya.
Hallelujah. WCHL Championship Sports, brought to you this morning by AT&T Wireless.
The rugged Samsung Galaxy S5 Active, exclusively from AT&T, stands up to most everything. Falls into the shallow end? No problem. Falls into a mud puddle? A-OK. Falls into a deep fryer? That's a no-no. Drop it in a mop bucket? Fine. Drop it in the chili con queso? No problemo. Drop it in a garbage disposal? Yeah, that's a problem. Rain shower? No biggie. Meteor shower? That would be a no.
AT&T, mobilizing your world. Make the most of this school year and get the Samsung Galaxy S5 Active for zero down with AT&T Next. Exclusive to AT&T, the Galaxy S5 Active is engineered for your active lifestyle. Visit att.com or store for details.
Device meets military standards for water and shock resistance. Submersible to 3 feet for 30 minutes. Rinse residue shock resistant for drops or falls less than 4 feet on flat surface. AT&T Next requires qualified installment agreement, credit, and wireless service. Taxes, other charges, and restrictions apply.
Are you a physician assistant in the area who is looking to join an academy of peers? If so, let the North Carolina Academy of Physician Assistants work for you. Not only does being a part of the NCAPA connect you to fellow PAs in North Carolina, it also provides opportunities to have a voice on legislation that impacts your right to practice medicine. The Academy offers multiple occasions to meet peers and holds two annual CME conferences. Let the NCAPA help you so you can continue helping others. Visit ncapa.org today.
The job market can be tough. It's time to show the business world that you're tougher. Durham Tech can help you build your resume with skills designed for the global economy. You'll learn what works in areas from healthcare, computer science, and foreign languages to biotechnology, construction, and real estate. Classes are taught throughout Durham and Orange counties, many in the evenings and on weekends. Visit durhamtech.edu to learn more and get ready to do great things.
This is Dr. Adam Goldstein with Your Health Radio in the University of North Carolina Department of Family Medicine. Do you need help to understand health insurance on the marketplace? Join us at a free event on Saturday, January 17th, 10 o'clock to 3 p.m. at the University of North Carolina Family Medicine Center, 590 Manning Drive in Chapel Hill, where you can discuss your questions with a counselor. Call 919-545-3440 for details. The number again is 919-545-3440.
729. Jones Angels.
I think you sound younger on FM, Ron. Do you think this is the case, too? I think you sound like a young man.
Jones, I am a young man. At least mentally. 729 WCHL, as I mentioned. Here we are, 32 degrees in Chapel Hill. Our temperature right there at the strategic point this morning, right there at freezing, which means there's a little frost out there. We have had some reports of ice out in some outlying areas, so please just drive with extra caution today. In addition to all of that, there is, of course, the fog. It's kind of patchy and thick in some spots, so just be careful out there. More on your traffic situation coming up from Nick and Morse in just a few minutes here. This weather forecast brought to you this morning by the Carolina Inn in Chapel Hill. It is 32 degrees, as I mentioned, patchy fog, sunshine after the fog clears away. High today about 48 or 49 degrees, a little bit breezy later on in the day. Tonight we're looking at clear skies and cold temperatures with lows around 30. On Saturday, sunny with a high of 48. Saturday night, clear and clouds moving in after midnight. Slight chance of rain after midnight. Overnight low about 38 degrees. And then on Sunday, mostly cloudy with maybe a rainy day. 40% chance of rain. High on Sunday in the middle 50s. The Carolina Inn's Carolina Crossroads Restaurant and Bar is one of only three Forbes four-star rated restaurants in North Carolina. Carolina Crossroads Restaurant, a favorite place for gourmet cuisine. More local news coming your way after an update from CBS and a commentary on the way from Carborough Mayor Lydia Lavelle.
If it's happening in our Chapel Hill Carborough community, you will hear about it on 97.9 FM WCHL, and you'll find it on our website, chapelborough.com.
CBS News Update, I'm Dave Barrett. Major police raids in Belgium. 13 terror suspects rounded up, two others killed. In Brussels, CBS's Charlie Daggett says a magistrate outlined the plot.
He said the suspects were plotting to attack Belgian police and police stations. Local media reported extremists planned to kidnap and behead a law enforcement official and post it on the internet.
Police found officers' uniforms when conducting those raids. Dozen arrests in the Paris region, two more made in Berlin. There are reports that up to 20 sleeper cells with up to 180 people are set to attack in France, Germany, Belgium, and the Netherlands. National security analyst Juan Zarate.
It's not surprising. I think we've got to be careful how we categorize these so-called cells. These may be just individuals of concern. But the reality is Europe and European counterterrorism officials, I speak to them quite frequently, have been worried about what they call, what one Dutch counterterrorism official called the sustained threat of these individuals and networks.
CBS News Update, I'm Dave Barrett.
This hour of the morning news with Ron Stutz is brought to you by Bredman's Restaurant. Open at 7 a.m. daily and serving breakfast all day. Bredman's on Rosemary Street, a Chapel Hill tradition since 1974.
WCHL News, talk and Tar Heels at 97.9 FM, WCHL.
32 degrees, 732. This is Ron Stutz on WCHL. We've been talking about all the Martin Luther King Jr. Day and weekend events happening in Chapel Hill, Carborough, and certainly a lot of events happening at the university. But let's go to the northern part of Orange County and find out what's happening there. Here's WCHL's Blake Hodge.
There are events going on throughout the community in the next few days in honor of Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., celebrating the life he led and pushing the message that he believed in. Dr. Millicent Rainey is the chair of the Northern Orange Commemorative Committee and organized this year's events in Hillsboro and the surrounding area. She says that the committee is comprised of 28 area churches, and this year is the 20th anniversary of their first commemorative events. Dr. Rainey says that they will begin the weekend festivities with their banquet on Saturday.
The annual banquet this year will be held at Lee's Chapel Missionary Baptist Church at 4 o'clock p.m. on Saturday. Our speaker is the recently appointed North Carolina Executive Director of the NAACP, Reverend Michelle Law.
She says that the banquet will include singing from the Martin Luther King Jr. Youth Choir. Dr. Rainey adds that on Monday morning, they will be holding a march in downtown Hillsboro, and she says that they are deviating from their normal plans to celebrate this special anniversary.
This being our 20th anniversary, we're doing things just a little bit different. We're having speakers at each stop.
The march will have three stops. The messages will cover the history of events over the last 20 years in Hillsboro, thoughts on where civil rights stands currently across the nation, and will once again have singing from the youth choir. They will also honor citizens for their service to the community, according to Dr. Rainey. She says that it is important that we pass along the memory of Dr. King to the next generation.
It's very important that our young people understand the kinds of things, the characteristics and qualities that Dr. King emphasized. And I think that is taught not only from the parents, but also the church and the community being role models and assisting in that education.
The march on Monday morning will begin at the old courthouse in downtown Hillsboro at 9 o'clock. Blake Hodge, 97.9 FM, WCHL.
In the Chapel Hill Carborough City school system, an African-American student is five times as likely as a white student to get in-school suspension, five times as likely to get out-of-school suspension, three times as likely to get sent to the principal's office. That's according to an official school district report that looks at discipline data over the past two academic years. At last night's school board meeting, Chapel Hill Carborough City Schools board member James Etta Bedford said, "We have to be very careful in interpreting this data."
All that shows you is that the risk for ISS discipline reaction is 5-1. You can't assume that the child deserved it and actually did those actions.
Bedford said teachers and administrators may discriminate in whom they choose to discipline. White students make up about half the district student population. Black students are 11% of the population. According to the report, Latino students make up 14% of the student population, are also disproportionately disciplined. Aggression, defiance, and disruption rank as the most common infractions among all students. The report says the largest disparities between white students and black students are in vaguely worded infractions like disrespect.
Disrespect was one of the hardest things for teachers to define. So we've sort of decided that we just really don't even want that on our office discipline referral form.
That is Nancy Cuffer, the school district's behavior support coordinator. She says the district needs to update its policies and rewrite the code of conduct to clearly define infractions. Also, the district should help teachers think about the function of students' misbehavior. And this can help the teachers see behavior patterns and respond based on those patterns. Board member Annetta Streeter worries that seeing this data could strengthen stereotypes and cause teachers and administrators to racially profile students.
I am concerned about this information. For it to be shared with some authority figure, administrators, whomever, it definitely gives an idea based on comparing demographic groups.
WCHL will continue to follow this story. Wednesday afternoon in Pittsburgh, U.S. Marshals arrested a man wanted here in Chapel Hill on multiple charges of dealing cocaine. 29-year-old Justin Hardy has been charged with six counts each of felony cocaine possession and possession with intent to sell. The Chapel Hill PD issued a warrant for Hardy back on December 30th following a narcotics investigation. Hardy was arrested by the U.S. Marshals Joint Fugitive Task Force after they pulled over a vehicle in which Hardy was suspected of being a passenger. You can read the full statement from the task force on WCHL's website, chapelboro.com. The North Carolina Department of Health and Human Services reported 26 influenza-related deaths for the week of January 4th through 10th. That's 26 people dying in that short six-day period of time. That brings the total number of flu deaths here in North Carolina up to 90. since the Department of Health and Human Services started monitoring flu cases back in early October, the beginning of flu season. State epidemiologist Dr. Megan Davies told WCHL last week that the main strain up until this point has been H3N2, which tends to cause more severe illness in the elderly.
About two-thirds of the H3N2 that's circulating, that's been tested at the CDC this season, has not been well matched to the vaccine, unfortunately.
Still, officials are encouraging North Carolinians to get the flu shot because different strains of the virus may become prominent later on in the season. And congratulations, this is in our News Around Town story on WCHL. You can check them all out there. And congratulations, I want to say, to Chapel Hill High School Ethics Bowl team, which came in second in the state in the North Carolina High School Ethics Bowl held earlier this month at UNC. The North Carolina School of Science and Math won the state title. They will represent the state at the National Ethics Bowl, which will be in April, also on the Carolina campus. The Ethics Bowl is hosted by UNC's Parr Center for Ethics. Last year's national champion was East Chapel Hill High School. So Chapel Hill High School came awfully close this year. 7:39 at WCHL always goes to show we have some really, really smart students in our local school system, and including Tooney Goyle, our hometown hero today, an eighth grader at Smith Middle School. You'll hear more about him coming up just a few minutes here on WCHL. He has been a huge part of the Book Harvest effort to collect books for kids all over the community.
Well, imagine if you start off in eighth grade with this of a title.
This kid's something else.
Wow.
Had the opportunity to meet him, and he is really, really cool. Cool kid.
Was he the kid that came in yesterday?
Yeah.
Oh, he was awesome.
Yeah, it's amazing.
Loved him.
We have more on him coming up at the top of the hour. And before we get to the top of the hour, a couple of celebrity birthdays in our local community here. You're going to hear from Gerald Ramoyne, as you always do.
Mm-hmm.
Performance Automall is the sponsor of our Hometown Heroes, our old Village Pride program. Gerald Ramoyne has a birthday today.
Happy birthday!
Wow! Happy Woo-hoo! Birthday, Gerald. And also, guy that I've known for 115 years.
Wow, that's a long time.
Robert Humphreys.
Yeah?
Robert Humphreys, known far and wide as Mr. Chapel Hill, the parade czar, all-around good guy, leader of the Nomads Band and various other things.
Happy birthday to him, too.
Some we can talk about on the air and some we can't. But happy birthday, Robert.
It makes me happy.
Robert's really, he's not getting older. He's getting better.
Well, one can only hope for that.
For all of us.
All of us, yeah, absolutely.
I was going to say his age, but he could come right back at me. So.
Uh-huh, yeah. Be careful what you say.
Exactly. What is happening today? Everybody waking up first thing this morning, first thought that crossed my mind. When I was coming to work or getting ready, which was when I was actually just starting to wake up, when I was on my way. What is happening at chapelbro.com today?
Well, now that I've have a visual of you in your jammies, I'll go on with this and let you know. Art Zangle has a dog of a crowd. He's talking about State's crowd, in a word, was lame on Wednesday night, giving its team virtually no home court advantage.
They were kind of quiet.
Yeah.
Uncharacteristically so.
I know. I thought maybe it's just because it was a Wednesday night and, you know, middle of the week, maybe they were a little tired. Who knows?
But I don't know, but they're usually...
I'm not complaining because it helped us out a little bit,
I
think.
Oh, yeah, sure.
You know, I mean, I'll take whatever we can get. Also, the voting has just started for our short list, best automotive place in the area. Here's your list of best automotive places to choose from. Autologic of Carrboro, mm-hmm. Chapel Hill Tire and Car Care Center, F&F Automotive, Performance Auto Mall, Ron's Auto Service of Hillsboro, not mine. And Sturdivant's Tire Pros and Auto, and we're going to announce the winner on the 29th, so make sure you stop by chapelbro.com and get your vote in.
I'll tell you what, there are some really good places there. I can attest to you personally, just about all of those. They do
That's
great
good.
Work.
Good to know, because,
really
you know, every now and then, you know, you never know when you need some auto help.
That's a really good list, though.
Mm-hmm. The wonderful folks at Performance Subaru, speaking of Gerald Remoyne, held their 7th annual dog show with all the proceeds going to benefit Paws Forever. If you missed the event but would like to help, you can also go to pawsforever.org. Susan Murray was there and took lots of great photos of all the furry friends. There was these cute little dogs named Mutt and Jeff. You've got to take a look at their pictures. They're just so cute. They made me laugh.
I missed that event. I got to check that photo gallery
out. There was also a dog there that had a stuffed animal that was basically his twin. And I think that was his favorite toy because you could see him in a couple of pictures where he's got his little paws and little toy. And
like Mini-Me?
Yes, he's so cute. brings a tear to my eye.
Doesn't take much to get you.
I know. I cry at good commercials. It's really sad, but it's true.
Oh, man. We just happened to stumble across a television show that was on last night.
Uh-huh.
It was the annual Dog Awards. I've never heard of such a thing.
Really?
But in that, they played some commercials that are just incredibly effective featuring dogs.
Oh, my gosh.
It's just awesome.
You feature a dog or a cat or a small child, and you've got me. I'm in tears. I'm a blubbering fool.
One that gets me, and they had a feature on this last night. They had a few of these. Is like people coming home from long trips away in the serving our armed forces, and dogs seeing them for the first time. In a long time.
Uh-huh. I cry every
being
time.
So incredibly happy.
Cry every time.
I mean, it's wonderful. And check it out. You can find some of those things on YouTube and it'll make you cry. You can also see that ridiculous flop by PJ Harrison on YouTube, which is terrible.
Oh.
It was so blatant. It was so crazy the way he tried to make it look like it was a foul on the other guy that, the NBA fined him $5,000.
maybe he's got an acting gig in his future.
Now, or maybe you should have played at Duke. I only say that because I know that there are a lot of people out there thinking that. Because there has been some flopping that's gone on.
Flopping. I love that word.
That's what it's called. But anyway, thank you very much. It's 7:45 WCHL. And the opinions expressed in this show do not necessarily reflect the opinions of the ownership and management of WCHL. Art Chansky also talks about Butch Davis while we're on the subject of controversy. We finally paid off that guy.
Where can kids like me go to learn new skills, make friends, and have fun?
Chapel Hill Gymnastics, the community's largest gymnastics facility offering tumbling, trampoline, summer camps, birthday parties, gymnastics classes for boys and girls ages 1 year and up, and more. The structured classes and energetic atmosphere motivate gymnasts to achieve personal goals in the sport of gymnastics. Call 919-942-3655 or visit chapelhillgymnastics.com.
Chapel Hill Gymnastics, the fun place to learn and grow.
And one and two.
Meet Samaya. She may seem like an ordinary four-year-old budding ballerina, but she's a champion at heart. Samaya was diagnosed with congestive heart failure at 4 months old. That's when UNC Children stepped in with a life-saving transplant she needed. As a leading children's hospital in the Southeast, we provide care for future champions of all ages, like Samaya, so she can get back to dancing, and we can say we knew her when. Visit unccchildrens.org.
This is Kit Ballou of Franklin Street Realty.
And I'm Sammy Martin. Kit, years ago you said it would be a good idea to end these spots with, "Why would you call anyone else?" I thought at some point we should answer that question, but we never have.
Sammy, we answer that question every time we go on the radio. Why don't we spell it out in our fall repartee instead of bludgeoning people with football analogies?
I'm for that. At Franklin Street Realty, we put a great team on the field every day working for you.
Okay, enough. Let's talk about the real stuff like buyer agency. It's the fiduciary relationship that is possibly more important to us than it is to you. Our job is to help you identify the difference between a house for sale and a real opportunity, and to manage the details once the choice has been made.
Folks, everyone at Franklin Street gets this and is totally committed to it. And that's one of the answers to the question. Franklin Street Realty, why would you call anyone else?
Find us on the web at franklinstreetrealty.com or on the phone at 929-7174.
747 WCHL with 32 degrees on the thermometer this morning. Temperature right there. We'll talk about traffic and weather together next. First of all, a commentary today from Lydia Lavelle.
And now, WCHL presents the commentators.
This is Lydia Lavelle. As a community, we recently celebrated the 223rd anniversary of the ratification of the Bill of Rights. But President Franklin Roosevelt discussed what he coined a second Bill of Rights in January 1944. His words are still relevant today, and I quote, "We cannot be content if some fraction of our people, whether it be one-third or one-fifth or one-tenth, is ill-fed, ill-clothed, ill-housed, and insecure. This republic had its beginning under the protection of certain inalienable political rights. They were our rights to life and liberty. As our nation has grown, however, these political rights proved inadequate to assure us equality in the pursuit of happiness. True individual freedom cannot exist without economic security and independence. People who are hungry and out of a job are the stuff of which dictatorships are made." President Roosevelt then discussed what he believed should be addressed under this economic Bill of Rights: work, food, clothing, housing, medical care, and education. About these rights, FDR said, "All of these rights spell security. We must be prepared to move forward in the implementation of these rights to new goals of human happiness and well-being. For unless there is security here at home, there cannot be lasting peace in the world." Now, to me, it is clear that the second Bill of Rights, which highlights how intertwined many basic rights are, is still every bit as important and as relevant as the first Bill of Rights. As an elected leader in this community, I believe the second Bill of Rights is an appropriate guide for us to follow as we address these goals. In doing so, we might actually achieve FDR's dream: security, human happiness and well-being, and lasting peace in the world. Seems appropriate for this time of year, don't you think? This is Lydia Lavelle.
Is there a local issue you care about? You're invited and encouraged to contribute your own views on this or any other issue. The commentators, local people, local issues on 97.9 FM, WCHL. Change your plans on Monday. The Carolina Coffee Shop is now open 7 days a week from 8 a.m. on weekdays and 9 a.m. on the weekend. North Carolina's oldest restaurant has more that's new, like an espresso bar with professionally trained baristas. The Carolina Coffee Shop is now the one-stop shop for the best in breakfast, lunch, and dinner, serving the freshest in local fare. And it's espresso bar. Check out CarolinaCoffeeShop.com, plus Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram for daily deals and specials. The Carolina Coffee Shop, now open on Monday too.
There are many reasons people sell gold and silver to Jewel Recycle in University Mall. Inheritance of unwanted jewelry and flatware, gifts from the ex, downsizing, or just for a little extra cash. But did you know the manufacturer of an average gold ring creates more than 20 tons of mining waste? Selling unused jewelry is the green thing to do. Jewel Recycle in University Mall is the Triangle's top gold buyer. Visit them for a no-obligation, generous offer. Also on the web at jewelrecycle.com.
This is Jeff Rubish. Did you know that 70% of the people over the age of 65 will require long-term care? Today, 1 year of long-term care is estimated to cost $75,000, and in 30 years, it will rise to $250,000. The average age of a buyer is 57, when most people can qualify for good health discounts. A long-term care policy protects you in case you lose the capacity for independent living. Call my office at 913-1144 to schedule a complete review of your insurance. This is Jeff Rubish. Did you know?
I'm out for traffic and weather together on WCHL, and this traffic report is brought to you this morning by Cruisers. Here is the inimitable Nikki Morse.
We have a little bit of fog out there this morning, so just be aware and use a little extra caution. We do have also a report of ice in the outlying areas, NC-57 at Guest Road in Orange County. Also, an accident should be in the final cleanup stages, southbound 15-501 at I-40. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, 40 eastbound, still in pretty good condition. No major delays to report as you make your way towards RTP. You might see some crowded spots here and there between 15-501 and the Durham Freeway. If you see anything while traveling, be a WCHL Road Warrior. Give us a call at 967-8363 or tweet us at WCHL Chapelboro.
I'm just glad to see everybody working on a regular schedule today.
You know, yeah.
No delays or anything like that because, you know, weather related. So
I'm just so glad that it's the weekend almost. Well, it's the unofficial start. Let's just say we're going to start the weekend right now.
I'm so glad. I'm glad.
That was before my time, I bet.
Cream. Cruisers Convenience Marketplace serves fountain drink perfection daily, made with 100% filtered water, served at 34 degrees over their famous chewy ice. That's why the ice doesn't melt, because It's served at 34 degrees.
Oh.
It's really great. So the ice hangs around for a long time. It's guaranteed to taste great and only 79 cents, even for that great big 32-ouncer.
Wow.
Cruisers, good to go. Now, your Chapel Hill Carborough weather looks like this. 32 degrees, a couple of degrees cooler than a Cruiser's fountain drink. Patchy, dense fog this morning. Sunny skies, high today, upper 40s. A little bit breezy. Tonight, clear, cold, low 30. Tomorrow, sunny, high in the upper 40s. Saturday night, chance of rain after midnight. And then on Sunday, mostly cloudy with a 40% chance of rain and the high in the middle 50s. Ladies and gentlemen, a 100% chance this morning of Dr. Wayne Pond. Time to embellish your vocabulary. Say the word and be like Wayne.
Yeah.
That's what you want. That's what you want to
see. I love it, guys. That is just peachy keen.
Yeah.
It is.
So are you, buddy.
And I understand I'm indebted to my illustrious spouse for that addition to our radio extravaganza. Is that right?
Yeah, it was her idea.
She's the one with the ideas in this family. So
well,
take
I know
it from
that.
Me.
I know that. She's also...
All right, guys, here we go. I got a dandy for you this morning.
I was going to say, she's also a very tolerant woman.
All right, now, Ron, are you done with your?
Yes.
Are you done with your sermon? Can I move ahead here?
Yes. Go ahead.
She's cheering from the other room, as a matter of fact. So, all right, as I say, a sweet, simple, quick, direct little word here for the word of the day.
Right.
Word of the day is lotto. L O T T O L O, double T O lotto. It is a noun. Mm-hmm. Ron boy. Define the word lotto for me.
Lottery.
Lottery. All right. It begins with, comes from Italian, 18th century, roughly. A children's game, similar to bingo, which numbered or illustrated counters or cards drawn by players. That's the primary definition. And, oh, look, somebody slipped in another definition here. Lotto. Secondary definition. A game played by the geniuses in Raleigh to create the illusion of funding education.
Ooh. I was going to say, like my definition is that if I won the lotto, I wouldn't be here right now.
Wayne, you know, the problem with you is you never really come out and tell us how you really feel about those people in Raleigh.
Well, someday we'll talk about that, Dr. Freud.
That's great. That's great.
All right, there's your word of the day. Happy Friday, guys. L-O-T-T-O, lotto, a noun. Mm-hmm. It is a children's game. Boy, I tell you, it may be a children's game, but it has some serious implications.
Exactly. Yeah. Hey, Wayne.
Yeah, man.
Thank you so much, buddy.
Big hug. I owe about
97% of my extensive vocabulary to you.
That is a very scary thought, Ron.
Yes, it is. The word of the day brought to you by Frank Street Realty. Nikki, why would you call anyone else?
I have no idea.
Next hour, you have an opportunity to call in and tell me the word of the day. Spell it, define it. If you can do that before anybody else does, then we'll give you a $10 gift certificate to Cruisers. The aforementioned Cruisers, where you are good to go. 7:55 WCHL. Time now for the clean joke of the day. And once again, here's Nikki.
A father passing by his son's bedroom was astonished to see the bed was nicely made and everything was picked up. Then he saw an envelope propped up on the pillow, so of course he opened it. Dear Dad, it's with great sorrow that I'm writing you. I had to elope with my new girlfriend because I wanted to avoid a scene. I really love Stacy, but I knew you wouldn't approve of her because of her piercings, tattoos, and because she's so much older than I am. Oh, and she's pregnant. She owns a trailer in the woods and has a stack of firewood for the whole winter. We share a dream of having many more children. Stacy's opened my eyes to the fact that marijuana doesn't really hurt anyone. We'll be growing it for ourselves and trading it with other people in the commune for all the other drugs we want. Don't worry, Dad, I'm 15, and I know how to take care of myself. Someday, I'm sure we'll be back to visit so you can get to know your many grandchildren. Love, your son, Joshua. P.S., none of that is true. I'm over at Jason's. I just wanted to show that there are worse things in life than my report card on the kitchen table.
I love it.
He's a genius.
That's the best joke you've had in a while.
Thank you.
Oh, boy. 757. Good morning. This is WCHL.
This is Gerald Remoyne, General Manager, Performance Auto Mall in Chapel Hill. We're proud of the performance promise, and we're proud of our community, too. That's why Performance Auto Mall highlights a great community service demonstrated by today's Village Pride Award honoree.
Tooney Goyle is an eighth grader at Smith Middle School in Chapel Hill. He's today's WCHL hometown hero. Here's Ginger Young.
Tell me why Tooney is so special when it comes to book harvest.
Tooney did something absolutely incredible last year. As you know, Ron, we run our giant community-wide book drive on MLK Day every year, and MLK Day 2014 was a great success. 34,000 books came in one afternoon, and this young man brought in 8,000 of them all by himself. He reached out to his middle school and decided he was going to really hit a home run for us. He brought in more books than we could imagine. The moment he pulled up at the Carolina Theater of Durham and opened up a U-Haul and it was packed to the gills, we were just, our jaws dropped. We couldn't believe it. So he's a hero. If anybody ever wonders about the power of the youth in our community to make a difference, they just need to meet Tooney.
Tooney, why did you get so fired up about doing this for your fellow students and for kids all over our community?
Well, 2 years ago, I participated in an MLK drive for Book Harvest, and I was blown away. I loved it. I fell in love, basically. So since then, I've loved doing charity work, and I love working with Book Harvest.
Now, I'm sure that collecting all these books, you obviously are a big reader yourself. What has reading books, what kind of a difference has it made in your life?
I've become more intelligent and nicer to people, I think, too, because books teach you empathy.
Well, we could all use more of that.
Well, Tooney is quite a guy. One of the reasons, he reads a lot.
It's not just about donation and community service. It's about being part of a community, giving back to the people you go to school with, your coworkers, being part of something bigger.
I got to ask you this. What do you hope to do as an adult? I know you got a lot of stuff you're going to do between now and then, but what are your favorite studies? What do you enjoy reading about most? And what do you want to do when you're older?
I love technology. I love